Okay, so words I never thought I would say. Parshas here from Devai. Now I've said them, now we're good. Okay.
Yeah. This is the first Rambam Yomi ever done from Devai.
Exactly. I don't think this is the first Parshas here ever given from Devai, but it's definitely my first Parshas here from Devai, okay? Amen, exactly. Very good. Okay, so I want to just point out a Midrashic tradition, or two different Midrashic traditions, and I think the two methodological approaches to deal with them. Obviously the central narrative of the Parsha is the spies, thank you, the Meraglim. And there are two, I think, very different Midrashic traditions about the spies. There are certain Midrashic traditions that insist that the Meraglim were great people, right? They great people. And often those traditions focus on which word, which keyword? Anashim, shlach lecha anashim, and then the Midrash, Midbar Rabba Tzayin, right, says, anashim always means great people, right, Rashi quotes it, right, that tradition basically, at first glance, if you just read it, would assume these people were great. We assume not just great politically, but great spiritually, and then you understand the story of people going off the derech, making a mistake, being washed away in who knows what, right, that's one sort of way of thinking about it. There's another way of thinking about it, which is the simple read of the Midrashic tradition that Rashi quotes on the pasuk of Yehoshua, which is when he called him Yehoshua, what does Rashi say? He changed his name. Right, Ka Yoshiacha Be'atat Miraglim. He added the Yud and he davened from the God should save you. Now, what's the simple tradition of that? Or what's the simple read of that Midrashic tradition? Right, that they were bad, right? Meaning he knew in advance, right? Meaning if you just had that Midrashic tradition in isolation, it's Kayoshiach Me'aretz Meraglim. Oh, that means that Meraglim have bad advice that they're about to give you, which means that from the beginning, maybe they were politically powerful, but spiritually they were not positive. Now, what is someone to do with these Midrashic traditions? So I think they have two approaches. What are the two approaches they could take? Right, one is to say, it's a machloket, right? Right. Obviously, one is to say it's a machloket, right? There's one Midrashic tradition that says they were righteous, they were whatever, and then they went off, right? And then there's the other Midrashic tradition that said, no, this was built in to the fabric of, this was going to happen. Now, despite that, there is a long history of Darshanim and the like who don't take that approach. And I think methodologically the reason they don't is, right, what's the downside? That's the easy answer, but there's a serious methodological flaw with that, which is, why did Moshe send them? Right, meaning, if you take it pshuto kimashma'o, right, that means that Moshe knew it in advance, and Moshe sent people who were problematic. And that, in the narrative, seems very odd, right, because why would he do that? And therefore, I think that's the central question that drives the attempt to synthesize the two traditions, right? Which is, in the end of the day, if you really think that Moshe knew with certainty that they were going to sin, right, that's a problem, right? Why does he send them? Send somebody else. Send 10 Yoshuas and send, right, 12 Yoshuas and 12 Kalevs, I mean, right? So therefore, I think it's that question that drives the long history of Darshanim, especially, who say what, right? What is the methodological move? How do you, right, get around it? And again, this is drash, but I want to show you where the drash comes from, which is what? What do they do?
It's both of them.
It's both, it's not just both. Both is easy, right? Both. They were great, and they weren't great. No, right? That doesn't work so well. Right? I mean, it works if you're Hegel. If you're not Hegel, it doesn't work. Fine? Right? What's the way to synthesize it? No, so that's easy, right? Yesh v'yesh. But there's this tradition, which is a very weird tradition, but I think this is the question it's responding to, which is, they failed because of their greatness, right? And you've probably heard versions of this at some point in your life, but basically if you find any of these, like, this is like very popular amongst the Darshanim, right? I was reading Rabbi Price's Drasha, and he prefaces it by saying, the Darshanim have said, right, this is like a tradition in Drasha, which is to say, their sin didn't come from weakness, it came from greatness. Now, there are versions of it, right, like, the Jews in the Midbar were purely spiritual, and they were afraid of embracing a life that wasn't as purely spiritual, right? You've heard this in your life, right? This is like an old midrash, an old tradition of drash, right? Which is, they were great, they were tzaddikim, and the reason they sinned was because they said, oh my God, we're going to go into Israel, and suddenly we're going to have to work, and we're going to have to whatever, and we're not going to be given man, and we're not going to be given... Our magical clothes and all that, we're going to have to work, and suddenly we're not going to get to be in kollel all day, right? You've never heard this? This is like, growing up, I know, this is like one drash tradition, which is, they were really, really important, they wanted to be in kollel, right? And they were like, oh, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, we won't be in kollel. So, it was a mistake, but it was a mistake that came from a desire, right, to be in kollel. And they didn't realize that the ideal is not to be in kollel, right? But it's coming from a position of strength. Right? Or Rabbi Price's version of it, which is, they themselves were fine, but they thought that the people couldn't handle it. Right? They thought, they misunderstood the people. They said the people are so used to living a life where everything is taken care of for them, and they're going to fail if they go into Eretz Yisrael and try to perform all the mitzvot. Right? It's so easy now. They have minimal mitzvot, they, you know, whatever. Right? They don't have to be involved in this. It's so easy to be spiritual in the desert. They misunderstood the strength of the people. And that was their sin, right? It was a leadership mistake, right? Again, there are many different traditions in drash, but I think what they're responding to methodologically is these two drash traditions. One that says they were bad from the beginning, one that says they were tzaddikim, right? Responding to the question, if they were bad from the beginning, why did Moshe send them? Answer, because they really were great, right? Their flaw was inherent, right? It wasn't inevitable, but it was inherent in the fact that it came specifically from their greatness. And again, the reason I think, again, whether you take it or you don't take it, or you don't, one, you find one tradition compelling, you don't find it compelling, the point is that methodologically, I think they're all responding to the same issue. And that's what's important to notice, right, is that they're all, and I think what drives them to synthesize the Midrash is the fact that it is very weird to read these as two separate traditions, because that would imply that Moshe knew that it was problematic and sent them anyways. And that's something I don't think they're willing to accept, which gives them the opening to pull these different synthetic moves. Synthetic, not by fake here, but synthesizing moves, yeah.
If that's the case, though, that this is all coming from greatness, so then what separates Yoshua and Kalev that they were able to...
Good, so depending on which tradition you take, right, it's... they trusted the people, or they understood that it was worth taking... whatever tradition you have to say. Remember, the Pasuk says about them that they have Ruach Acheret Imo, right? Meaning, they do have a certain sense, right? Meaning, Ruach Acheret Imo does seem to relate to what you get later, very quickly, when Moshe says, when you pick a leader, get something, right? He talks about having a Ruach, right? Elokim Bo, this idea of Ruach seems to be linked to certain leadership qualities, right? And it seems to me that they had that, right? Again, whether that's, whatever that is, a courage or just a sense of what the people can handle, what a tradition you want to take, fill it in, that's what Yeshua and Kalev had, right? Right? Or it's fluke, right? Or it's a fluke. They were all great, right? And there are certain inherent dangers of greatness, and they didn't fall for it, meaning in the end of their free will, right? Okay, good. Guys, go get breakfast. Yalla.